This is Crew Saunders with A. I'm here with Carol Yarkovsky of Kentico Software. Carol, thank you so much this morning for meeting me and getting a chance to talk through customer experience management and content management systems. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Cruz. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me here today. As you mentioned, I work for Kentico. I'm actually a director of product at Kentico. We are a global software company and a vendor of Kentico EMS, which is essentially an all-in-one WCM platform, web content management platform with key online marketing and e-commerce features. As far as my background goes, it's mostly technical. I guess you're going to see it from the discussion today that I really love technology, but past 5 years involved more in the product development and product management than anything else. I have essentially 10 plus years of experience in web development, content management, customer success, technology consulting, and I'm very passionate about digital. About digital transformation, about digital strategies, how technology influence and in many cases reinvent the customer experience.
Well, that's a long history, and we've had a lot of changes over the time in the last decade, especially in content management and customer experience management and the platforms we use for publishing content out to users. It's evolved a lot since Kentico was founded over 12 years ago. Can you speak a little bit to the difference between content management systems and customer experience management? It's one of the top questions we hear. What is the difference between content management and customer experience management?
Yeah, and I agree with you that that's one question that we got a lot as well. I guess there are different answers to the questions. So I'm going to provide the way how I look at it. And exactly as you said, I remember when I started at Kentico over 10 years ago or something close to 10 years ago, the content management was mostly about creating the content and then publishing it. Simply with maybe a basic workflow that would just push the content to the website. There wasn't a lot more about it, right? Over those 10 years, we get to the point where the content management, creating and managing the content itself is not enough anymore. And instead, what you need to do is you need to create the content and serve the content that is relevant for the customer, the website visitors. And in order to be able to do that, you really need to engage the insights from other applications like analytics, marketing automations, and other that will help you to personalize the content and make it really relevant for the person looking at the content. I think that when it comes to providing the ultimate customer experience, specifically from perspective of content innovation or technology innovation or the business efficiency, the organization actually need to invest into technology and data that help them to deduce what should be the content that needs to be displayed and what should be the next best action or best content for a specific customer. So that's the difference as I look at it in a nutshell.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. The customer experience is something that we're all responsible for now. It's almost become the job that we all have, whether we're in marketing or operations, to deliver customer experience across a lot of different channels. And it's interesting to me that we're able to do so much more with an understanding of the visitor now. And Kentico is one of the handful of platforms that gives us a deep insight into session data on platform. Because before, to your point, you had all of these different silos of analytics and other software that's outside of the platform that's delivering the content. So you can't easily stitch them together. And now there's this opportunity to react to the session with personalized content. That's pretty remarkable. Can you talk a little bit about the idea of experience consistency regardless of channel? So the customer experience cross channels and how a platform can participate in coordinating those experiences.
You are spot on about the fact that before there were silos that and each silo were represented by different type of application. And as I mentioned, the information from all those different applications need to come together at some point. So I think that the one of the big challenges that are ahead of any platform, not just Kentico, but any other platform that is responsible for providing those personalized customer experiences is how you connect all the data together. And I think that's why we are seeing such a boom in popularity of different customer data management tools that are kind of aggregating all the data that then content management system or digital experience systems like Kentico can tap into and can personalize the data, can personalize the experience accordingly.
Looking at the experiences that we're managing across various channels, how does customer experience technology and the Kentico platform in particular figure into to managing customer experiences across various channels and silos?
I think to start off the answering that question, I think it's important to realize one thing that for me personally was it took quite some time to understand, but it actually was a very enlightening when I figured it out at the end. And what I'm talking about is the fact that customers are constantly connected, and everyone has a smartphone, everyone has laptop, tablet, game console, you got a pocket consoles, right, ebook readers, smartwatches, smart cars, TVs, fridges, you know, you name it. And if myself or you or perhaps the people that are listening to this podcast and other technology savvy persons looks at a list of all those devices, we see different devices that are simply used by customers to interact with the brand online. We see the specific technologies that are running behind each device. We see even technical limitation of each device and subsequently a technology that is used by the particular device. Those are transparent to us. But for the most customers, at the end of the day, those customers that we are interacting with, they don't know, and they don't frankly need to know that there is such a difference, right? So they don't really care how difficult it is to optimize experience for a given channel or how tricky it is to keep the consistency among the channels. All they really care about is how their experience, whether their experience is appropriate for the given channel. Not only that, but also what that experience with their favorite brand, whether that experience is consistent across all the channels that they're interacting with. So technologies as Kentico, or any other digital experience technology is really posed with the challenge to accessing and consuming the aggregated context or session data, if you will. And if you take a look on the technology that is available, you can see all those context or session brokers popping up all around, and companies like Oracle, Google, Facebook, and others, they slowly getting to the point where they are ready to resell or make the data accessible to the masses. So for the technologies, it's important what next step it's going to take to be able to leverage the data that is available. But it's not only just only about accessing the session that is shared or is available to everyone. But I think that the wearable technology is something that can enable technology like Candigo to provide really the next best experience. If you imagine that there will be an application that could collect the context data about the person that is wearing that wearable and figure out if there have been any injuries sustained in a bike crash, for example. Obviously, no one want to get involved in a bike crash, but these things happen. And if the person driving a bike, riding the bike, gets off the road in the middle of nowhere, it's really hard to rely on passenger drivers to help you, right? So that's why the information from the wearables, the context that they can provide may be very important. And the technology can also leverage that information and connect to other technologies. So the organizations can use the experience management platforms to actually tap in the information that then can be used to provide an automated insurance claim or damage report, you know, and through the experience platform API connect with the closest repair store and stuff like that. So I think the biggest challenge is how to leverage all that, how to connect and leverage all the data that is available, and how to use it to find that next best experience. And the thing is that the next big next best experience cannot be something that can be figured out based on some manually codified set of rules. You have to actually have a technology that is using some kind of machine learning that is able to understand that customer context or session that is available and present the right set of content or services or products or actions to provide that next best experience. Because, you know, any single person cannot be expected to build the rules that are necessary to support all that variability, granularity, and multi-sort nature of the context understanding that is required to present each customer with the best next experience.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot to unpack in there. And you spoke to some really interesting other topics that I think relate to this. Essentially, what I'm hearing about is almost like a services bus across silos that gets unified at the CEM platform. And there's all these interaction points that are happening with operational systems, because the picture you're painting is much more of a complete customer experience beyond just the marketing funnel. And I think sometimes in customer experience management, a lot of the stakeholders are marketers. And so a lot of times the focus is on automating processes through the buying cycle. But there's mm-hmm. all of these sort of post-purchase processes, which are key customer journeys. And you were describing a couple of those, and they interact with external systems. So, you know, one thing I heard about in your keynote from a conference last fall is this not mobile first, but API first concept, where we need to design with web services and with APIs in mind, which I think speaks to this idea of the sort of services bus that integrates process across an enterprise. Can you talk a little bit more about your vision for API first and how that plays for decisions that our listeners might be making in their organizations about building software and applications and web properties that interact with their CEM? How do they think about APIs and how do you think about APIs?
Yeah, so the API first concept is not really that new. I think it's very similar to what's going on with the cloud. You know, we always had servers that you could rent from someone that was managing it for you, and you were essentially only utilizing the operation system, the platform that was running there. I think the similar thing is going on with the API first, where the concept of building a robust, scalable, and open APIs, which is a very brief description of the API first approach, was here a long time. What I think is new about this, and then the reason why I essentially talk about it in the keynote, is because I believe that, or we believe that, with the rise of in popularity of IoTs, so Internet of Things, or in general, the increase of all those different connected devices that are able to consume the content, I think that's the main reason why, as an architect for the enterprise, you have to be aware of the fact that the mobile screen, the smartphone screen, is not really an edge interface anymore. And there are hundreds of different devices using tens of different interfaces that going to, at the end of the day, consume the content. And you will have to optimize the experience for those different devices, and you don't want to have replicated content, so you will have to share the same content. So you have to have that. Essentially, if we would go on the very low level, the content repository that contains the content has to provide an interface universal enough that universal and robust and scalable, of course, enough to be able to serve all those different devices. And so essentially the mobile first, what I'm saying is that mobile first was born at the time when the industry realized that everything is headed to mobile. So moving from the desktops to mobile devices. And we got to that point almost 2 years ago. But in the 2 years, in line with what you mentioned at the beginning, with all that progress, we got to the point where we really need to think beyond mobile. And so that's why the mobile first strategy is, I believe, being slowly rendered obsolete, and the API first is taking over. Another point of view is that through the latest front-end development technology. So if you think about it, if you keep an eye on all the technologies, front-end frameworks that are coming out that makes performance optimization easier, that makes developers more efficient optimizing the content presentation for specific device, that gives developers tools that enable them to create a better experience for their customers, you will notice that there is a new and better technology, front-end technology in particular, available every couple months. And so if you think about it, if you would create your customer experience based on a coupled API, meaning that the business logic would be tightly connected with the presentation, if you were to improve your customer experience, it would take a lot of effort. It would take a lot of development time, a lot of resources, and so on. So that's why APIs, especially decoupled APIs that are at the very core of API first approach, where business logic is completely separated and isolated from presentation logic, are becoming so popular and increasingly important. And as a vendor, our focus has to be on the core API that allows to manipulate the data, while digital agencies or organizations can use essentially any front-end framework to build a content presentation and then maintain it and replace it with a better framework that will provide a better customer experience down the road.
Terrific. With all of these APIs moving data back and forth, like you said, there's a lot of data being aggregated, and there's almost this requirement long term for machine learning and other forms of artificial intelligence to get involved. Can you talk a little bit about your vision for how machine learning and how cognitive computing starts to interact with customer experience management platforms over time?
Sure. So before I actually answer that question, I'm a huge fan of Tim Urban. And if you don't know his blog, I strongly recommend to go to waitbutwhy.com. It's incredible reading. I love it. Sometimes it's slightly difficult grasp all the concept that Tim is presenting, but it's very, very visionary. It's visionary, but also very realistic, because it's happening, and cognitive computing and AI is not impacting only customer experience, but it's impacting every aspect of our life, right? And to your question, we actually already see a real world uses of cognitive computing that are having a very concrete impact on customer experience. And there are several examples of its use in advancing personalization, customer service, or customer engagement platforms in general. And you can find cognitive computing, for example, in action that is comparing a personal medical data of a patient as they're leaving hospital, and then to the data that are collected over the time from using the wearable devices. And based on the results of comparison, the doctor is automatically notified if the condition is changing or if there are any other any symptoms of coming health problems. Or you can have cognitive personalization engine that recommends you custom spice flavorings. It's actually something that I tried when I lived in the US, where you basically share the information about yourself, and based on the information that you share, the machine learning algorithm that is searching the data, looking for the patterns, it's recommending the custom flavorings for you. But I specifically recall a study from Accenture that was talking about the customers really getting increasingly frustrated with the quality of the service they were receiving while they were interacting with the organizations. And that surveys found that, I believe, 91% and over 90% of customers have to contact a company multiple times. 90% of those are put on hold for too long. 80-something% are forced to repeat their issues to multiple agents as they are transferred, right? My recent experience with one of the airline carriers, for example. And that's why I believe that the biggest potential for cognitive computing to impact customer experience is actually customer services. Of course, there are applications of cognitive computing and AI and machine learning in even content production or content authoring, content nurturing processes, right? Also, probably the easiest application or the most widespread application of the machine learning is in marketing automation and predictive analytics. Those are all areas that are already leveraging the machine learning. And I think that for just two examples, I will get to the customer service example one in a minute. Before that, just an idea how really a simple machine learning can help improve the efficiency of users. So it's customer experience, but from the marketer perspective, while creating the strategies. I'm pretty sure that you would agree that one of the biggest challenges with the digital marketing these days is that a lot of companies lack a comprehensive digital strategy. Most of them are at the early stages putting together their digital strategy. So if you have a tool that can provide a smart personal assistant that can help you to start off with your digital strategy, and then as you move through the stages in the strategy, as you execute and the strategy and you move forward, it will provide you some hints, some recommendations, some information on what the next activity on the marketing side should be. That would be that would help tremendously, especially organizations that are smaller, that are not so mature from the digital perspective. That could be a huge help. The other example, and the one that is actually, I would say, the first real use of AI or cognitive computing in customer service is just, it's something that was released just recently. It's the product, it's called Satisfaction Prediction by Zendesk, one of my favorite startups, actually, because these guys are very, very approachable, and they are sharing their experience a lot, very transparent. And what they did is they used a machine learning algorithms, searching through the patterns of ticket histories. So Zendesk is essentially a CRM that can and service desk in one, blended in one. And so as an agent, when you are answering a ticket, when you have a ticket open and you going through the conversation with the customer via an email, there is an indicator, a satisfaction prediction indicator that is telling you how likely the customer is going to be happy about the outcome of the ticket resolution. If you think about it, it's all about sentiment analysis. So I think that the next big thing, big application that is going to be probably a widespread is going to be sentiment analysis and predicting what is the mood of the person you're dealing with, because that can tell you a lot about how you should approach that person and stuff like that, right? So I would just wrap up with one more thing that, you know, no matter what application of cognitive computing or AI you can think of and you will come across, it always boils down to, I would say, three main or basic elements of the cognitive computing that could be applied to different variety of problems. And that's, those three main elements are data, big data, machine learning, and natural language recognition or natural language processing and sentiment analysis. I think that using those three components and kind of looking at, okay, how can I apply these components to whatever my organization is doing, whatever the industry I'm in is doing, I can find a very useful and very realistic application of the mesh cognitive computing and AI in general.
Beautiful. Yeah, that is a very clear vision, and it's a good one to hear. We're in the cognitive era already, and I think that a lot of marketers, especially, but really decision makers within the digital ecosystem in general, are all somewhat confused about how to interact with artificial intelligence, you know. And I think as AI and machine learning gets baked into the platforms, we'll make it easier for for all of the marketing decision makers, especially to be able to, for example, deploy sentiment analysis if they can turn on that as a module in the platform. Do you ever see that happening in the Kenico roadmap, sort of machine learning built on platform?
Absolutely. I think that there is no other way, honestly, because you know you think about it, with increasing amount of data that we have to deal with, right? Or the marketers specifically have to deal with, the more customers that I need to service, because everybody gets connected and everybody wants to interact with the brand. There is no other way for the marketers than just get machines to help them to process all that, all those requests, all those inquiries, and help them really provide the best experiences possible. So as far as the roadmap goes, we are really looking at including machine learning in one of our products fairly soon. I'm pretty sure it's not gonna stay just with the marketing suit. But we would like to see machine learning, as I mentioned at the beginning, being a part of content production process as well. And so we are currently doing the research on what applications would have the biggest benefit, provide the biggest value to the content authors, the content editors.
Wonderful. You know, I could, I have at least another 10 minutes worth of questions, but I know we need to wrap up. I mean, there's the Internet of Things and the semantic web, and really your approach towards strategy. All of those things are very interesting, but we'll have to wait for another chance for us to talk. But in order to wrap up our conversation today, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your general vision for where Kenico is headed next, as one of the very few platforms in the entire world that manages user session data along with content and is able to deliver customer experiences across lots and lots of channels and react to them in real time with personalization without a lot of custom hacking, but using the features already available on the platform. That's a very powerful position for Kenico to be in. Love to hear your thoughts on the next year, two, three, for Kenico, where it's headed broadly, and what you'd like to see become part of the experience for marketers on the Kenico platform, as much as you can share with our audience about that direction, because I know you drive it. Let's end with that.
I think that one thing that is very exciting, but at the same time very challenging for any product management person, I guess, no matter what industry or organization that person is part of, is really the dynamically changing conditions in the market. So you can envision yourself doing certain thing 3, 4, 5 years, or 2, 3, 4 years ahead, but you know, the conditions in the market are changing so drastically, so fast, especially with all those technologies popping up, that it's really impossible to predict on the higher level, feature level, what should or what will be involved in a product. But exactly as you said, there is a high level vision that every product should have. And really, for us, it is about providing developers and marketers with experiences that are natural for them, that are in line with the way how they are used to work. They are in line with their way of work, and they are experiences that allow to them to achieve their goals faster, and whether that means employing more artificial intelligence or cognitive computing for content production and marketing automation or predictive analytics, all those technologies, all those things that we've been talking about, or whether it means anything else, it depends, and it will we will see over the time. But what I think is absolutely crucial, not only for Canigo but for any organization that is want to sustain the digital disruption revolution that we're going through, is innovation of products, of services, and even business models, because that's the only way to succeed. And that's exactly the reason why at the beginning of the last year, we have started a concept of internal startups. It's an innovation program that is actually pretty amazing, and I believe still fairly unique comparing to other organizations and other vendors and what they do, because we essentially form a group of people, mostly from existing Canigo employees, and we create a so-called internal startup. And these people then, using and applying principles of lean startup, explore problems and needs of the customers in the market. They're looking for opportunities that we could turn into new products. And that's how we actually created our newest software as a service product called Canigo Draft, that helps with the content production stage before the organization make a pick about the content management solution or content experience management platform they want to use. So we have currently two more groups that are looking for problems and needs that are related to content delivery and publishing and digital experience management. So we are expecting to find those major opportunities, and hopefully will cause a disruption in the industry with those. So altogether, basically, what we talk about today, all those topics, plus whatever we'll be able to find using lean principles and investigating the market more, is what's going to form the future Canigo product line.
Wonderful. Agility and responsiveness and the ability to, in real time, engage with the market seems to be a competitive requirement nowadays, and it's great to hear the way that that's expressing itself at Canigo with these internal teams. There's so much innovation happening at such a fast pace for everybody. That model makes a lot of sense, and hopefully our listeners will reflect on their own organizational approaches and how innovation is managed, and look for ways to increase that pace of change inside of their own organizations as we move towards a more cognitive and intelligent world. Thank you so much, Carol. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with in terms of contact information or follow up, how to follow you and your work, or anything like that that would be a good coda at the end here? Anything you'd like to leave with our listeners to follow up on?
Yeah, absolutely. I would actually love to hear from anyone that has their own experience, their opinions and suggestions and stuff like that on what we discussed about and anything else that Canigo is doing. So if you can follow me on Twitter at Canigo_KARLJ, that will be appreciated. Or you can follow the work that Canigo is doing at Canigo tweet handle.
Terrific. Carol, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got an incredibly busy schedule managing a giant team of really talented developers there at Canigo. We appreciate your vision and sharing that with our audience. Have a wonderful rest of the week. And thank you to everybody else who's come to listen to my conversation with Carol Jarkowski at Kentico.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody.